Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 7th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
G7 nations strike a historic deal on corporate taxes.
Janet Yellen waves off concerns over interest rates and inflation.
The U.S. and China butt heads once again on trade policy.
And the latest voting rights bill may be dead on arrival in the Senate.
Turns out masks are not waived for New York schools, not yet. While New York lawmakers try to wrap up their legislative session in just a few days. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Yankees lost again. The Red Sox swept the series. The Mets won in San Diego. The Nets and Islanders have playoff games tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And U.S. futures lower to start the week, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 9 points, Dow futures down 9 as well, and NASDAQ futures down 65. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with a new development on global tax policy. Over the weekend, G7 nations reached an agreement for a minimum corporate tax rate of 15%. We get the details from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
This is a big step forward. It does open and pave the way for a 15% corporate minimum tax for those big companies, but it also would allow governments to tax these companies in the countries where they make the service and make the sales, not just the jurisdiction in which they're headquarters. Now, the problem here is that the implementation risk continues to be very high. You know, we're talking about a G7 agreement, but this will have to be agreed at the G20. That is happening in July. And after that, we're going to have to hear from the OECD too for this to be fully global. You could expect that some countries, in particular, I'm thinking the Irish, will push back, you know, in the months to come.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports there's also been positive reaction from corporate America. Facebook and Amazon say the move would strengthen confidence in the global tax system and bring stability.
Janet Yellen was a key negotiator in the deal. The Treasury Secretary says digital taxes on tech companies were a central part of the talks.
Commitments today provide tremendous momentum towards achieving a robust global minimum tax.
European finance ministers are painting Janet Yellen as a key negotiator in the years-long battle over taxes.
Janet Yellen's also weighing in on interest rates. She says President Biden should push forward with his spending plans, even if they add to inflation concerns. The Treasury Secretary made the comments in an exclusive interview with Bloomberg. Here with more is economics correspondent Enda Curran.
She's clearly in the transitory camp. She has made these remarks before, and she kind of doubled down again with some specifics in that interview. She made the point, for example, that the total U.S. spend at the moment going on is around $450 billion U.S. a year. That's not going to create the kind of inflation that will stick around, she said. And she also made the point that the money that the U.S. government wants to spend over coming years is investment and not stimulus. And this is an important point. She's making the argument that this is all about creating a more productive U.S. economy with the kind of infrastructure that you need, for example, to get things moving. It's not necessarily about supporting demand, which would drive up stimulus in the short term.
Bloomberg's Enda Curran says that could trigger higher interest rates, which Yellen says would be good. The Treasury Secretary tells us higher rates would be a plus for society and for the Fed.
Global trade is also in focus as the world's biggest economies butt heads on the issue yet again. U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai calls the relationship between the U.S. and China significantly imbalanced.
I would say that there are parts of this trade relationship that are unhealthy and have over time been damaging in some very important ways to the U.S. economy.
Trade Representative Katherine Tai said the U.S. wants to bring balance back to its relationship with China. She spoke ahead of a meeting of Asia-Pacific trade ministers.
Well, China's economy continues to roar back from the pandemic. Exports surged in May, although at a slower pace than the previous month. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Exports grew 27.9% from a year earlier. That was weaker than forecast and below the pace in April. Even so, hard to quibble with these numbers as they're still well above historical growth growth rates. So what's driving it? Well, strong global demand as more economies open up. Imports soared 51.1%, the fastest since 2010. That was a miss as well, but up significantly from April. Also worth noting here, the data is a little distorted by the five-day Labor Day holiday. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., stimulus checks are giving a boost to the economy. That's according to Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan. He says leftover stimulus money has consumers ramping up spending.
Our consumers have lots of money in their checking accounts. We think they spent about 65, or they have not spent about 65-70% of the last couple rounds of stimulus. Loans are starting to pick up, and there's plenty of borrowing capacity.
Brian Moynihan says Bank of America customers have spent more than $1 trillion so far this year. He was a guest on Face the Nation from CBS, heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
Back in Washington, negotiations on infrastructure continue between Republicans and the White House today. So far, they've made little progress. That has some Democrats pushing to abandon talks. But that's not in the cards at the moment, according to Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo.
There's no, you know, hardwired deadline. We are doing the work of legislating. This is a big week, so we won't do this forever. But right now, there are good faith efforts on both sides, and we're going to continue the work of, you know, doing our job and trying to get a bipartisan agreement.
Secretary Raimondo spoke on ABC's This Week, heard on Bloomberg Radio.
Voting rights also in focus on Capitol Hill. It looks like sweeping legislation passed by the House may be dead on arrival in the Senate. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Senator Joe Manchin says he will not support the For the People Act, which could potentially doom the legislation in the evenly divided Senate. The Democrat announced his position in an op-ed for the Charleston Gazette-Mail, where he also said he will not support ending the filibuster rule. Instead, Manchin and GOP Senator Lisa Murkowski are urging a broad rewrite of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. They say it's a bipartisan alternative. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures are down 8, Dow futures down 3 points, NASDAQ futures down 62, the 10-year down 7/32, yield 1.57%, the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, Amy Morris is here to let us know what's been going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Students and staff at schools across New York State will still have to wear masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The State Education Department says despite a letter from the State Health Commissioner, Dr. Howard Zucker, saying the state intended to waive that mandate today, it will stay in place. First Lady Dr. Jill Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci, White House Chief Medical Advisor to the President and Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health, visited the vaccination site at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, New York, yesterday afternoon. Dr. Biden.
This is how we get the word out. We want everyone 12 and older to come get vaccinated. We're really working hard because we have to get back to life as normal.
First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, along with Dr. Fauci, who says the pandemic will end, but it depends on getting enough people vaccinated. New Jersey has ended its public health emergency. Governor Phil Murphy signing that legislation on Friday, ending the 15-month-long emergency, allowing most restrictions to be lifted, including indoor mask wearing, social distancing, and crowd limits. Businesses can still require you to wear a mask, though, and precautions are still in place in hospitals, schools, and on public transportation. New York, meanwhile, planning a so-called mega concert for later this summer to welcome the city back from the pandemic shutdown. Mayor Bill de Blasio is planning a large-scale performance by multiple acts and has called on legendary producer Clive Davis to pull it all together. Now, the show is tentatively set for August 21st, and nobody's confirmed yet, but Davis says he's aiming for 8 iconic stars to perform a 3-hour show for 60,000 attendees and a worldwide television audience. And it is very likely going to be a busy few days at the state capitol. This year's legislative session is winding down. Lawmakers are expected to finish up their work on Thursday, but not before having to debate and potentially vote on bills involving several key issues, including gun control, criminal justice reform, and climate change. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy. Thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Previous two seasons, the Red Sox had played 16 games at Yankee Stadium and had lost 15 of the 16. Different story this past weekend in the Bronx. Red Sox sweep. They came from behind again. They got to the Yankee bullpen last night, just as they had done the night before. The Yanks led 3-1 in the seventh inning. The Sox scored five runs over the last four innings. They won 6-5 in 10, so the Yankees swept in consecutive weekends. They've dropped eight of the last 10. They're only two games over 500, and they sit in fourth place. The first-place Mets won 6-2 at San Diego. Marcus Stroman did not allow an earned run. Met home runs for Dom Smith and James McCann. James Harden will not play for the Nets tonight at Barclays. Game two with Milwaukee. Harden re-injured his hamstring in the opening minute of the Game 1 victory. His Nets teammate is Kevin Durant.
I want him to be out there. I know how much he cares. I know how much he wants to be in this moment. It sucks. You know, I wish him a speedy recovery. We're going to keep him involved as much as possible, but, I mean, it's just a bad break.
Not known when Harden can return. Round one of the NBA playoffs ended with the Clippers Game 7 win over Dallas. Only game of the series won by the home team. Atlanta off the series win over the Knicks. Took Game 1 in Philadelphia. Stanley Cup playoffs, big Game 5 for the Islanders tonight in Boston. The series is tied at 2. Serena Williams lost in the fourth round of the French Open, and Roger Federer withdrew. Looked as if Jon Rahm would have an easy win to Memorial Golf in Ohio. He finished the third round with a six-shot lead and then learned he had tested positive for COVID, so Patrick Cantlay won in a playoff, and he, instead of Rahm, won the $1.7 million. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. Right now, S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures up 4 now. NASDAQ futures still lower. They're down 60 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. Yield 1.57%. 2-year yield 0.15%. NYMEX crude down 0.5%. $69.20 at a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% at $1,887.60 an ounce. The euro 1.2161 against the dollar. The yen 109.44. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, make your giving organized and tax-efficient. Visit jcfny.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are dropping along with treasuries as investors weigh inflation risks and the impact of a minimum corporate tax on technology firms. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points, Dow futures down 2, NASDAQ futures down 62. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year treasury down 8/32, yield 1.58%. They yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 37 cents at $69.25 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $5 at $1,887 an ounce. The euro 1.2160 against the dollar. British pound 1.4140. The yen 109.44. And Bitcoin at $36,487. Watching shares of Tesla this morning down 1.3% after canceling plans for a longer range sedan. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, the Biden administration is expected to announce actions against trafficking and smuggling and also hopes to launch new anti-corruption measures. That during today's visit to Guatemala by Vice President Kamala Harris. Between now and the end of June, the Supreme Court is expected to rule in 23 cases, including the latest Republican challenge to the Affordable Care Act. And there is intense speculation about whether 82-year-old Justice Stephen Breyer might decide to retire when this term ends. Some progressive activists are urging him to do so. While Democrats control both the White House and the Senate, Breyer has not given any indication that he is ready to step down. In sports, the Nats, A's, and San Francisco all lose. The O's win and the Red Sox beat the Yankees. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Amy, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a morning when inflation risk and tax policy are in focus for markets. Let's take a look at those issues from a policy perspective now with Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy, joining us live from the nation's capital this morning. Terry, great as always to speak with you as we sort of digest the agreement from the G7 over the weekend that arguably was spearheaded by Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen to reach this agreement on a 15% floor for global corporate taxes. What are the chances that it actually gets implemented?
Good morning, Nathan. My short answer to your question about implementation is slim and none. I like what your Maria Tadeo said earlier, that the implementation risk was very high. I thought that was a very markety way to put it. The G7 ministers have made a commitment, according to them, that's their word, about this. It's not really an agreement. It has to negotiate so many hurdles, both the G7, emerging nations, and then there's this little problem of implementation. And, you know, you look at this particular United States Congress or the next one, but either will be very closely divided. I'm very bearish on Congress agreeing with it. I give the likelihood of Congress agreeing to impose this commitment about 40% at most. The politics aren't there. Republicans would be against it, as I think would centrist Democrats. And so, you know, the signal coming out of Washington is not going to be a positive one overall, no matter what Secretary Yellen or the administration say.
Does the politics of tax policy change in Washington if it becomes more than just a commitment from the rest of the world? If there is more of an agreement from the G20 and the OECD, does that change things when it comes to Congress?
I think that's a very smart question. The answer is it depends. It depends on what happens with on the tech side. As a lot of people in Washington have said, as the tech companies themselves have said, look, this is going to be positive if minimum tax is really the minimum tax. But if what we're doing here is adding on another tax and increasing, say, the wonderfully named GILTI tax from the 2017 tax law, and then we're imposing other levies on top of that, that's a very bad deal, both for the United States and, you know, it just increases the patchwork that the minimum tax purports to want to end. So if there is a commitment to wanting to do a minimum tax, just a minimum tax, sort of dropping a lot of other things, then I think you get a more positive response out of Washington, but otherwise not.
Obviously, a 15% floor for corporate taxes is pretty much the same proposal that was rejected by Republicans that President Biden put forward in his latest infrastructure plan. Where do you see infrastructure talks going right now? We have another round of them coming up later today.
Well, I'm non-consensus positive on infrastructure, and I have been on some time. I have been for some time. My view is it's about 60% likely to yield a deal, and I've been probably by the July 4th timeframe, I would say overall, at about 1.25 trillion to 1.5 trillion. I think you get there. Bottom line here is really, really simple. In Washington, just like in life, there's a poker game going on if everybody's around the table playing poker. Everybody in Washington is around the table playing poker right now. President Biden and Chairwoman Capito will be meeting for the third time in a week. The body language out of the administration yesterday of Secretary Raimondo, whose comments you ran earlier, and Secretary Buttigieg, both were positive about continuing. The words good faith were used to describe Republicans by Democrats. And so I think we're on the road to something. But I'll give you the substantial 40% for the thing cratering. If the fringes of both parties, the progressives on the left and, you know, sort of far-right conservatives, decide that short-term election benefit is better than actually getting something done, but it sounds like they very much want to do it.
All right, Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. Of course, we're going to be watching as those talks resume later today in Washington, with time potentially running out here as President Biden is set to leave Washington, head overseas for the G7 by the end of this week. As we take a look at markets ahead of the open, seeing mixed action in equity futures now. S&P futures are down 7 points. Dow futures have been swinging between gains and losses this morning. They're back in the green now, up 5 points. NASDAQ futures down 58. The 10-year down 8/32 now. The yield 1.58% on the 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, hot, humid, near 90 today. It's going to be near 90 for tomorrow and Wednesday as well. Both days, scattered showers and storms possible. Currently 75 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. G7 nations have reached a historic deal on taxes. They've agreed to impose a minimum corporate tax rate of at least 15% on foreign earnings. Corporate America is taking the news in stride. And we get details from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Brussels.
We did hear from Facebook and Amazon say we actually welcome the move if we do see a global and international agreement on it. For a company, it's easier to just pay one tax that's recognized across the world than to pay different jurisdictions. The criticism, however, is that some tax experts will tell you companies like this will always find a way to reduce that tax bill.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says details of the tax agreement will likely be worked out in July.
Janet Yellen was a key negotiator in the deal. The Treasury Secretary says digital taxes on tech companies were a central part of the talks.
The post-pandemic world must be fairer, especially with regard to international taxation.
European finance ministers are painting Janet Yellen as a key negotiator in striking the deal on taxes.
Janet Yellen is also weighing in on interest rates. She says President Biden should push forward with his spending plans, even if they add to inflation concerns and lead to higher interest rates. In an interview with Bloomberg, the Treasury Secretary said higher rates would be a plus for society and for the Fed.
Back in Washington, negotiations on infrastructure continue today. President Biden set to speak with West Virginia Senator Shelley Moore Capito again. So far, they've made little progress.
Voting rights also in focus on Capitol Hill. It looks like sweeping legislation passed by the House may be dead on arrival in the Senate. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Renita.
Karen, Senator Joe Manchin says he will not support the For the People Act. That could potentially doom the legislation in the evenly divided Senate. The Democrat announced his position in an op-ed for the Charleston Gazette Mail. He also said he will not support ending the filibuster rule. Instead, Manchin and GOP Senator Lisa Murkowski are promoting a broad rewrite of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, what they call a bipartisan alternative. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. And S&P futures are lower this morning, down 6 points. Dow futures up 11 and NASDAQ futures down 48. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.57%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.5% or 37 cents at $69.25 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is here with a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Amy, good morning.
All right. Thank you, Nathan, and good morning. Members of the New York State Legislature are expected to approve a bill this week to fund the impeachment investigation involving Governor Cuomo. The measure would cover both the cost of the probe and also any trial that might be held. Members are looking into how the governor's office handled nursing homes at the start of the pandemic and allegations the governor sexually harassed several women, which he denies. First Lady Jill Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci toured a COVID-19 vaccination site at a historic Harlem church.
We're going to end this outbreak for absolutely certain. Yeah. And the vehicle to ending it is vaccination.
Biden and Fauci watched as people got their shots yesterday in the basement of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, which has often hosted elected officials and other dignitaries. A New Jersey shore town is offering more money to attract more workers this summer, even with the staffing shortages. Seaside Heights Mayor Tony Boss is optimistic.
As long as we get the sun and we build upon our new businesses and our new attractions, I think we're going to have a banner year. And people, including myself, we're happy to be outside.
He's proposing an incentive to keep summer workers all season long by giving them a bonus at the end of the season. He knows other shore towns are also having the same issue, and he says he needs to compete with their pay. A mega concert is being planned to welcome New York back from the pandemic shutdown. The New York Times reports Mayor Bill de Blasio is planning a large-scale performance by multiple acts and is calling on legendary producer Clive Davis to help pull it all together. Now, that show is tentatively set for August 21st. No artists have been confirmed yet. Representative Elise Stefanik has announced she is expecting her first child. The fourth-term Congress member from upstate New York tweeted that she and her husband are expecting a baby this fall. Stefanik was first elected to Congress in 2014 and was elevated to the number three position in the Republican caucus last month after party members ousted Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street, and John Stashower is here with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the big Yankee problem has been a lack of offense. Last night, they actually scored 5 runs on 11 hits, but their bullpen failed them for the second straight night. Lucas Litke gave up a game-tying 2-run homer to the Red Sox. Marwin Gonzalez in the seventh inning. Luis Sessa served up a 2-run single by Boston's Xander Bogaerts in the 10th, and the Red Sox, who had gone 1-15 at Yankee Stadium over the previous two seasons, finished a series sweep 6-5-10. The fourth-place Yankees have now dropped 8 of the last 10. First-place Mets salvaged a split of the four-game set in San Diego, winning 6-2 the day after the Jacob deGrom gem. Marcus Stroman also did not allow an earned run. NBA playoffs, Luka Doncic's 46 points, not enough. The Clippers beat Dallas in Game 7 in Philadelphia. Trae Young looked just like he did against the Knicks. He scored 35. Atlanta blew much of a 26-point lead, but held on to win the series opener with the Sixers. The Nets in Milwaukee tonight at Barclays, Game 2. Brooklyn won the opener despite James Harden re-injuring his hamstring in the opening minute. He will not play tonight. Islanders and Bruins have Game 5 in Boston. The series tied at 2. Roger Federer and Serena Williams both approaching their 40th birthdays. 43 Grand Slams between them both. No longer in the French Open. Serena lost. She's gone 4.5 years without winning a slam. Federer won a grueling third-round match, then withdrew to rest up for Wimbledon. Patrick Cantlay won Memorial Golf in Ohio in a playoff. 19-year-old Filipino Yuka Sasso won the U.S. Women's Open in San Francisco. Julio Jones, star receiver for Atlanta the last decade, traded to Tennessee. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson joins us on this Monday morning, starting off with some pretty important news for a biotech, Dave.
Absolutely. Biogen shares up 3% in early trading. U.S. regulators are due to decide whether to approve a proposed Alzheimer's treatment called aducanumab. J.P. Morgan said the Food and Drug Administration's ruling might cause shares of Biogen to move sharply in either direction, depending on how it turns out. And we're seeing a bit of weakness among the big tech companies. Alphabet for 1.5%. The internet company's Google unit agreed to pay a $268 million settlement in a French antitrust probe of online advertising. Google was accused of unfairly sending business to its ad server, an online ad auction house.
Well, speaking of the FANG names, Dave, you got to think Apple's going to be a stock to watch this week.
Oh, definitely. With the Worldwide Developers Conference starting today, We're reporting that major software updates for the iPhone and iPad will be rolled out, among other new products. Now, you know, Apple's facing some criticism from developers for its App Store policies, so we'll see if that becomes an issue this week. For the moment, though, Apple shares down 0.5%. Tesla's off 1%. The electric car maker called off plans to build a longer-range version of the Model S sedan that would have been called Plaid Plus. CEO Elon Musk tweeted the new version isn't needed because the Model S Plaid, quote, is just so good. There you go. Linde's down 1%. The chemical company was included in a preliminary list of deletions from the Russell 3000 index of U.S. stocks. Now, Linde is legally based in the U.K. and managed from Germany as well as the U.S. Macquarie Infrastructure up 8%. People familiar with the matter said the private equity firm KKR is close to a deal with that company to buy airport services provider Atlantic Aviation. They said the deal may be valued at about $4.5 billion. G3 Apparel up 11% in advance of fiscal first quarter results due before the opening bell. Analysts see the clothing maker's sales rising 14% after four straight quarterly declines. And that's based on the average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. Progressive's off 1.5%. The home and auto insurer was cut the equivalent sell from hold at Morgan Stanley. The firm said Progressive faces pressure on profit margins as driving returns to pre-pandemic levels and repair costs rise. And I'm watching AMC Entertainment bouncing around a bit in early trading, higher at the moment by 1.5%. Bear in mind, the movie theater owner rose last week in holiday shortened trading by 83%, even with losses Thursday and Friday, Nathan.
Yeah, the meme stock phenomenon continues. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you, as always. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole, ahead of this Monday morning open, S&P futures are down 5 points. Dow futures adding to their gains. They're up 20 now. NASDAQ futures still on the decline, down 48 points. 10-year Treasury now down 7/30 seconds. The yield 1.57%. 2-year yield 0.15%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunny, hot, humid, going up to near 90 degrees today. It's going to be near 90 tomorrow and the next day. Both days with a chance for afternoon scattered showers and storms. Currently 74 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And S&P futures are moving lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures somewhat quiet right now. Dow futures up 19 points. Like you said, S&Ps are down 5. NASDAQ futures declined by 49. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.58%. Gold is down 6. Bitcoin gains 1.7%. And Hong Kong fell 0.5% overnight, while European markets are posting modest gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 3 o'clock, April consumer credit. And in other news, Tesla ended plans to build the Model S Plaid Plus. And in deal news, KKR is said near a deal for Macquarie's Infrastructure Atlantic. Wrapping things up, C.H. Robinson raised to buy at Goldman Sachs, Progressive cut to underweight at Morgan Stanley, and Visa was raised to overweight over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg type. Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, security officials say more transparency may be needed into what kind of cash payments are made after ransomware attacks. Chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, tells NBC's Meet the Press that it is worth having the debate over whether to make paying ransoms illegal for U.S. companies. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. made a mistake by quickly dismissing the theory that COVID-19 could have originated in a lab in Wuhan, China. She tells CBS's Face the Nation that health officials should have started asking the tough questions in 2019. And Prince Harry and Meghan Markle welcome their second child, a baby girl born on Friday. Lilibet Diana Mountbatten-Windsor is named for Queen Elizabeth and the late Princess Diana. In sports, the Red Sox beat the Yankees, the Nats, A's, and San Francisco all lose, the O's win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Amy, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where a big week awaits for infrastructure talks. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo tells ABC's This Week there's no hardwired deadline for President Biden to reach a deal with Republicans, but time is running short.
There is broad desire to have bipartisan agreement. That is good for the country. The president is leading us to, you know, continue to stay at the table. So we won't do this forever. But right now, there are good faith efforts on both sides.
Recent ransomware attacks on Colonial Pipeline and JBS Meat have exposed the cyber threat to the nation's infrastructure. Senate Intelligence Chairman Mark Warner is calling for companies to take action.
We need to have more transparency. There's going to be a debate about whether these companies should pay ransomware, but there ought to be more transparency if a company does pay so we can go after the bad guys.
Senator Warner was on NBC's Meet the Press. And Senator Joe Manchin says he's a no on the For the People Act. That's the sweeping voting rights bill that was passed in the House. And Manchin is steadfast against ending the filibuster. The West Virginia Democrat tells CBS's Face the Nation he's committed to bipartisanship.
It really saves democracy as we know it and the government that we have and the way we were set up. We need to work within the framework of what we have.
Face the Nation, Meet the Press, and This Week can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. For more, let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And staying on the topic of working in the government we have, Emily, we're still working on infrastructure talks and a potential bipartisan agreement. We've been working on it for weeks now, and it does seem as though time is running short, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you keep hearing about these deadlines. At first, there was Memorial Day that came and went. Then you heard Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg say, talk about today's date, June 7th, as a date that they would need clear guidance going forward. And obviously, we're only at the start of the day here in the U.S., but, you know, there's a big questions about, you know, exactly what is going to be the result of this phone call today between President Biden and the lead Republican negotiator, Shelley Moore Capito. I mean, they met on Friday. They had a discussion there, but there wasn't any sort of negotiation that was passed. We're keeping an eye out this morning to see if Republicans might offer a new potential bill to President Biden, because on Friday he said that what the Republicans had offered so far was simply not enough, that it did not go far enough, that he couldn't accept it. And so we'll see if there's a counteroffer at this point. But Nathan, you're absolutely right. Biden is under immense pressure from within his own party, particularly from progressives, to say, you know what, we've spent long enough on these negotiations. We need to move forward. And even for those who aren't progressives in the Democratic Party, a number of senators were there back in 2009, where there was the debate on the Affordable Care Act. They negotiated with Republicans for months and months and months and months, and not a single Republican voted for the final bill. Democrats don't want to see that happen again.
Well, you talk about the pressure on the progressive side of the Democratic Party on President Biden. He's also facing pressure on the moderate to conservative side as well, isn't he? Because you have Senator Joe Manchin saying repeatedly that he wants to see a bipartisan deal. If there isn't a bipartisan deal, will Senator Manchin go along with the rest of the Democrats and go it alone?
I think with Senator Manchin, it's instructive to look at what happened with the $1.9 trillion COVID deal. Manchin also wanted bipartisanship there, but when it was clear that that could not be reached, he was open to going at it alone. Certainly, you know, even if Democrats go at this alone, there's going to be some debates over exactly what to include, what not to include. Manchin has already made it clear that he's not happy with a 28% corporate income tax. You've seen other Democrats raise concerns about state and local taxes. So look, going at it alone doesn't mean that suddenly you snap your fingers and we have an agreement and everything's fine. Democrats are very much going to have to negotiate within their own party, but that's even more pressure on sort of coming up with an idea. Are we going with Republicans or not? Because if not, it's going to take time for Democrats to negotiate among themselves and come up with something that can pass Congress with very, very thin margins on Democrats' side. They really need everyone to be on board with whatever plan they come up with.
And I guess we heard from Senator Manchin over the weekend as well that the need for negotiation is going to be there just broad scale, because he's against making changes to the filibuster. And he actually came out and said that he's not going to support the House passed voting rights bill.
Yeah, and that's very big, because this is a bill that, you know, it's got in Congress, you know, every bill has a number, and the first couple numbers are pretty symbolic. And this is number one, H.R. 1, S. 1, the number one priority for Democrats is getting this voting bill passed. And Manchin has basically killed it as it is coming out and saying that he's not supportive of it. He has pointed towards another Voting Rights Act known as the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. However, this one is not nearly as broad or as all encompassing as the other bill that has already passed the House and that the Senate is currently working on. But to be blunt, it doesn't seem like, unless there were changes to the filibuster, even if Manchin was supportive of it, they weren't going to get those 10 Republicans to join them on it. So it's unclear exactly how much Manchin's opposition really has stopped this bill from passing.
Only about a minute left here, but of course the big news that markets are focused on this morning is the agreement at the G7 on a global minimum tax rate for corporations. What are the chances that something like a 15% floor actually gets passed in Washington?
So we're going to have to see exactly what happens with negotiations between Republicans and Democrats. But the interesting thing about this is that Republicans have kind of drawn this line in the sand, saying, hey, we don't want anything that goes against that tax reform package we passed in 2017. And this doesn't. This is something that technically, theoretically, Republicans could get on board with. That said, we've already seen some top Republicans come out and really slam it, saying that the agreement would ultimately harm American workers. So we're going to have to see what Democrats think of the idea, because if it's going to pass, it's going to be in an only Democratic situation.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital this morning. Emily, always great to get the update on what's happening in Washington. And you can read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility and ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. It's a big week for Apple. The company kicks off its Worldwide Developers Conference today as it continues to face scrutiny over its App Store policies. The virtual event will include software updates for the iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, and Apple TV. The company also plans to discuss new privacy protections for limiting data collection. Google is being hit with another fine. The company has agreed to pay $268 million to settle a French antitrust probe over its abuse of power in online advertising. The French Competition Authority said Google unfairly sent business to its advertising server to the detriment of rivals. In addition to the fine, Google promises to remedy the situation by improving its Google Ad Manager services for third parties. And there's yet another concern for the chip industry. COVID-19 infections at a factory in central Taiwan temporarily stopped operations at one of the world's largest chip testing companies. It's the latest disruption to a supply chain already struggling from shortages. And Jeff Bezos is heading to space. The CEO of Amazon and founder of Blue Origin says he and his brother will be on a Blue Origin flight next month. Bezos said on Instagram that they will take the trip July 20th, fulfilling a dream of traveling to space that he's had since the age of 5. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Futures this morning, S&P futures lower, down 6 points. Dow futures up 20, NASDAQ futures down 55. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.